Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening. It's Penny, and I'll let Matthew say hello himself. Good to be with you this evening. We're talking about wealth, and we'll get into that in a couple of minutes. So just handing over to Matthew.
Good evening, everybody, or good afternoon, wherever you're listening from. Really looking forward to tonight's show. I hope you enjoy it.
Excellent. So as we said in the write-up, you know, very much it's we're talking about material wealth and, you know, also looking at very much, you know, we tend to compare ourselves with others and what other people have. And this basically doesn't lead to much happiness because we're always comparing. You know, there's times where we either compare what cars we drive, what houses we live in, you know, where our kids go to school, etc., etc. But actually, it's looking at also the comparison is where we are in our lives at different ages. You know, various people just turn around and say, you know, I've got to be married by the time I'm 26 or 27, and then I have 2.2 children, and, you know, we need to be driving this type of car, earning this amount of money. And actually, what it actually does is it actually grows our envy monitor rather than our, you know, what we are actually need to be start being grateful for, that we're having all of these amazing experiences. But when we compare, it's because we just don't have great feelings of self-worth. And, you know, there's a cost here. And the cost is very much not loving self enough to realize that you're enough. And, you know, comparing and contrasting is not necessarily a good use of our time. So I don't know if you wanted to add anything to there, Matthew, but by all means, go ahead and chip in whenever you want, because you know I can chat.
Yeah, we're definitely both chatters. But yeah, it's a really exciting subject for me because it's something that's come up a lot with my training with Penny, and it's a very broad subject. You talk about sort of material wealth and that sort of thing, but it's so broad when you start picking jealousy through and envy and that sort of thing. It's nice to envy people's success and how they've done well. It's just when we do it in a negative way. And for me, I mean, when you get into the mindset of others have more, or it's okay for them because they've got this or that or what or the other, whatever it be, it rules your life, and you can create patterns of behavior around it. Which is the sort of the work that I've done with Penny, is unpicking my behaviours around it. And it is very much, it's what's going on in your head is going to be projected on in your life. So you're going to see it more.
I think one of the things, you know, when I was doing the write-up for the show, and I basically wrote the comment, if there was nobody to compare with, it would change everything. And this is so right. You know, a little bit of healthy competition enables us to become passionate and to excel. But it's when it goes to the extreme, this is when the problem arises. You know, Of course, most of us would feel more fortunate if there was nobody to compare and contrast with, but we would also lose some of the drive to succeed because, you know, sometimes, as I said, a little bit of healthy competition does us the world of good. But it's, again, as I was saying before, it's when it turns into a negative thing and it runs your life, and therefore you're not present for your friends, your family, your loved ones. And, you know, it really becomes quite a destructive thing. But as I was saying, there's no harm in, as you were saying in your comments, Matthew, you know, envy is a good thing if it drives you to success. It's when it's jealousy and thinking that you deserve what other people have, when you have no idea what it costs them to get it. And when I say you don't know what it took or what it cost them to get it, it may well be that, you know, an awful lot of successful people, and unfortunately a lot of successful men, have compromised on their time with their families and their time with their loved ones because it was necessary, or they thought it was necessary for their success. You know, when you look at really balanced entrepreneurs, someone like Virgin Boss, he's gone out of my head now, Richard Branson. when you look at Richard Branson and his amazing, or what it seems on the surface, amazing family connections and great family life, you know, he's very much more in a holistic looking way of being. And, you know, if we're willing to be humble ourselves and see life as, you know, as an act of faith and love, it can take us to being very successful ourselves, not just monetarily, but in a much more holistic way. So, you know, don't get me wrong, we all have dreams of being in a nice home, you know, driving a car that works, you know, when you turn it on, and having some of the trappings of success. But when we actually focus on that more than we focus on our inner wealth, it all becomes unbalanced. And it, you know, it's the unbalancedness of our lives that, you know, creates problems. I know Matthew will also talk about, you know, clients that he has who basically are focused on material wealth and the next shiny bit of tech or boys' toys or any of these, you know. And women are just as bad as men, by the way. That's not a pop up men wanting toys. Women want toys too. They're just slightly different. Yep. And it's looking at it, and when you focus on that, rather than, you know, the thing that we all need to be, which is focused on gratitude to what we already own and what we already have, it's the gratitude which is like the WD-40 of the universe. You know, if you're grateful and content with what you've got, that doesn't mean it's not your preference to have something different. It just means that, you know, you're not attached to the outcome. And it's when we're attached to an outcome that we do behaviors, or a whole set of behaviors, because we're motivated from scarcity, and we're motivated from greed, and we're motivated from some of the less positive emotions. And that's not going to be helpful when we're trying to attract a certain amount of revenue coming into the house. It's it can be quite difficult. You know, most of us are very, very fortunate, especially in the West, you know, to have a societies that actually bolster us up in some way or form. And, you know, we can go out and get a job if we're healthy and etc. But, you know, obviously in the third world, they're not necessarily having that experience. And it's much more, let's get our survival sorted out rather than thriving. And, it, you know, we are very, very fortunate to be living in the countries, you know, in the US or in the UK. We're very fortunate to have that. But it's also looking at it and going, we don't, you know, it's very much about, you know, knowing when your outer needs are taken care of. Actually, if we're feeling a lack and we're constantly going after that material thing, then it's because there's something going on within us that we need to sort out, we need to look at, rather than collecting a whole bunch of toys. Again, I can talk like there's no tomorrow, so hand it back to Matthew.
Yeah, and I think there's some real key stuff in there. When you look at, I was watching a nature program the other day on indigenous tribes, and one thing that really struck home was the absolute pure joy they were feeling 99% of the time. These are people that don't have material things. They don't have, they're back to basics. They're living in the jungle and they have everything they need. And that's why they're so happy. And it's only because of the world we live in and what society has created, we've created jealousy. Because we've created all these technologies, all the, very much like you said, all the cars, the designer labels, all of these things. And it's little things that people can say to us. So your assumption would be that that person's wearing Armani because they're rich. And well, if they're rich, they must be happy. And if it's this, it must be that. And it's all assumption. So you could look at someone like Richard Branson and say, oh, well, it's all right for Richard Branson because he owns an airline and he's got all the money in the world and he's got his own island and this, that and the other. What you forget is what he went through to get that and how much determination and passion and drive he had to create that. Now, his focus may not have been around becoming this multi-billionaire businessman. However, whatever he did, he was doing it with passion. So he's naturally going to attract it. And it's easy to look at somebody and go, oh, well, it's all right for them. Whereas actually, you need to look inside and what is it that you were told when you were younger, or what is it that you've told yourself that makes you assume if you had these things, you'd be better off. So I did a process with Penny on one of the courses that Penny runs, and it, long story short, it gets you to write down some of the things that you'd like to bring into your life and things that you would like to manifest or have within your life. And I probably wrote down 20 things, and I would say probably 18 or 19 were actually not important whatsoever. But as we drilled down through it, and every time I was asked a question, I had to basically give one of these things back. And there were houses, cars, boats, holidays, Ferraris, all sorts of things on the list. And what came down at the bottom was self-love and love. So when you drill down and you look at what you actually need, the things you want and the things that you need, so things we need, a roof over our health, our house, a roof over our head is top of the list. Water and food. And other than that, what do we what do we need? Obviously, we all have jobs because we need to pay for that roof over our head and that sort of thing, but we can live a very simple life, and there's nothing wrong with preferring the finer things in life, but it's what energy you give to that. What is it? Is it just because you'd like to enjoy it, or is it because you need that thing to be happy? A lot of my clients, young women, and yeah, Penny's very right. These are very highly driven professional women, and I found that a lot of them.
Hello.
Because it is just all about the next Prada handbag and the Bouton shoes and the new Range Rover, and when I've got this, my life will be good. And then they get it, and then it's all about the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. And one thing, a real clear pattern I've seen in a lot of my clients is they stop wearing makeup. And that one change of decision to not wear makeup speaks volumes for me as a practitioner, because some of these girls wouldn't have left the house without makeup beforehand. And it's because of fear of being judged, and they would look at other women and think, well, because everyone else is wearing makeup, I need to wear makeup. And it actually gets to the stage where unless they put that makeup on, they don't feel they can leave the house because they don't feel they're as good as all the other women out there. And from a man's point of view, I find that real sad, because any real man out there would say this whole craze around makeup, and I know in America they have a lot of like surgery procedures, over here with sort of like the Botox and the wrinkle filling and that sort of thing. Men don't care about any of that, and actually the more makeup a woman wears, the less a man would be attracted to it, because it doesn't, you don't see their natural beauty. And again, it can be a jealousy thing. A lot of natural women out there, we all have different body types, and we're all individual personalities, and that's what's attractive. But what strikes men as strange is women will turn around to men and say, oh, the most important thing is personality. However, their behaviour goes against all of that, because if they truly believed what they were saying, they wouldn't. Then the beauty industry would go down overnight, because all of a sudden women would stop wearing makeup and start spending time on themselves, on that inner part of self.
We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Excellent.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
One in three adults has pre-diabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While one in three adults has pre-diabetes, with early diagnosis, pre-diabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Hi, so we're back from the break. I was actually talking to somebody last week, and they basically brought to me, and he stated that his purpose was to make money for his family. Well, you know, it's also the idea that the corporation's purpose are to make money for their stock, their shareholders. And, you know, the problem with that way of thinking is that there's a lot, there are a lot more people affected by your actions than your family or your shareholders. That type of reasoning is an excuse for selfish, an excuse to give in to fear. And it's based on a fundamental belief that life is about survival. But that's not the purpose, the actual purpose of life. That love is just an idea or an emotional chemical activity in the brain. But ultimately, you know, that's what we're here for, is to gain self-love and to be able to spread that love out to other people. And, you know, when we were chatting and I was basically saying, you know, if you're willing to be humble, then you will see the faith, the love that can take you to the next level of being and the next level of evolution. And he was just blown away by that type of thinking and just went, you know, Penny, I'll, you know, take that on board. And, you know, this is somebody I've been working with, you know, on and off for a few months. And he has basically turned his whole life around and spending more time with him, getting to know himself, but also getting to know his family and, you know, his larger extended family also. And in that, he basically says, you know, when he is working, he's found that his productivity has gone sky high because he's nourishing himself and he's nourishing his inner self much more through the wealth of experiences that he's having outside of work. Then, so he actually focuses more dramatically and is more creative and more productive because of that, and actually has found that the company that he's running is earning much more money now than it used to. It was like he was stuck within his own limitations of what he thought that he should be earning. Or his company should be earning, and in fact has turned round the whole thing. And I've seen this time and time again when people get stuck into the materialistic life and forget to nourish themselves, forget to have joy and love in their lives, because joy and love, you know, are the WD-40 of the universe, and everything flows better. But when you're running your business or your career from a fear base, that's when things become stuck and it's not fluid. You know, money has to have an excuse to flow through you. Yeah, it has to, you know, it flows through you, not to you. So if you've got something and you've got a big why, you're going to actually attract more money and more material wealth than you are if you're thinking you just have to survive. You just have to, as I said, just have money to buy more toys or more glitter or more fame or more whatever it is. If you actually allow yourself to realize that you're a integral cog within the universe, and if you do your part, then it's all going to work a lot better. So again, handing over to Matthew so he can have his chat.
Yeah, I think one thing that was really clear for me in my own life when I started doing the work with Penny, and I was working around manifesting, and I was trying to manifest more money to help me push through and gain a better house and that sort of thing. But because it was coming from the wrong place, I found myself kept saying to Penny, I've just got a reminder of a bill that I've got to pay at the end of the month, because I'd accrued some debts, or well, credit sort of cards and that sort of thing. So here I'm thinking, oh, life would be easier if I could just manifest some more money. And all I kept getting was reminders around money that I wasn't being responsible with or for. So with credit cards, and I didn't see the lesson. I just saw the sort of the pattern is, oh, well, yeah, this is just, I'm not able to manifest money. And I gave money such a power. And it was only when I really looked into how important it is, and yes, it's a currency that we use, but the word currency is, you think in terms of energy, it is just energy, and it should flow through you. But if you're trying to attract it for a selfish reason, that's why it's not going to come. It has to be sort of a pure intention, and the universe is very, very good and at giving us lessons. One of my favourite sayings is, if you don't win, you learn, because there is no losing in my reality. I either get a lesson or I win. But when I was looking at money, when I gave money such importance, and that I found it didn't come, and when I did some personal work, and very much, to be real honest, the crux of it for me was self-love. Because if you truly love yourself from within, and we're talking warts and all, I mean, nobody's perfect. I mean, everybody could look at somebody and say, oh, well, they're stunningly beautiful. So I'm just going to pick a pop star, let's pick Taylor Swift. A lot of women would turn around to you and say, oh, well, she's such a beautiful girl, she's got long legs, blonde hair, she's beautiful face, that sort of thing. But if you ask Taylor Swift what she thought of herself, I guarantee she wouldn't give you the same answer. She wouldn't turn around to you and say, I'm the most beautiful woman that you've ever seen, and I think I'm perfect. Because we're all individual, we all have different perceptions of different people, and we think other people are happy because of something we see in them, but the chances are they don't even see it, let alone feel it. So when I let go of that attachment to money, I found it flowed. And I was earning more in the month, and progressively over the years, I've exceeded last year's sort of earnings. And it was only really became clear when it started happening, and I saw the pattern in my life, and I'd taken responsibility for my credit cards and got them all paid off, rather than thinking, oh, well, I'll just put a bit more on it this month and pay a little bit less off and that sort of thing. And when you take responsibility for your behaviours, you see the changes on the outside. A lot of people who are not in the top 1% of earners look at other people with money and think, well, it must be such an easier life. However, when you look at how much they earn, so if I was earning 100,000 and I was comparing myself to someone that earned £1 million, you think, oh, well, they must earn loads more money and they must have loads more experiences. The truth behind it is there's a lot more, we call it in England, keeping up with the Joneses. So if the Joneses at number five have their garage converted, you'll find that half the street then has their garage converted because they have to keep up with the Joneses. And it's very much the more you earn, the more your lifestyle costs. And the more your lifestyle costs, the more you're paying out each month. So someone that's earning £100,000 can have more money in their bank for most of the time than someone with £1 million a year income, just purely because once you're in that flow, it's easy to think, well, I've got to have that and I've got to have that. And well, now with the high flyers, a high street brand won't do. I have to have a brand new Versace suit that's going to cost me 12 grand when actually a high street £1,000 suit would be perfectly good enough. But it's this, we tell ourselves stories that we have to keep up and we have to have all this stuff. And actually, I reckon a lot of the richer people in, or the 1%, would turn around and say, I'd actually rather have nothing because I spend all my time trying to keep up with the lifestyle I have. That they do, they lose the time with their families. One of the top complaints from children is, Daddy was never there. And it, don't get me wrong, in no way am I sexist. It can be the other way around as well. I think it's fair to say we're all pink inside and we're all as equal as each other. But for me personally, it was like Dad wasn't there enough. But I looked at why he wasn't there, and it's because he was doing his very best to provide the best possible lifestyle he could, or what he thought, for us children, rather than thinking, actually, what would they not prefer more time? And time is not something we can get back. It's one of the only things that we can't manifest more of. And a lot of people, the amount of children that are brought up by nannies and by effectively strangers rather than their own parents, because mum and dad are out working and are too busy. When actually the time with the family is more important. It'll expand your heart, you gain deeper connection. It's all the stuff you're actually after. But more often than not, by the time we've created this monster, whether it be a business or a lifestyle, then it's such a big thing. It's how do you then change that? How do you change your behaviours when you're so used to that seven-figure company?
Yeah, everything that you're saying, Matthew, is just, you know, so true. I also come from, you know, what people would say is quite a privileged background. You know, my dad was an international businessman and he spent his life travelling all over the world. But that meant that he wasn't there for recitals. He wasn't there for sports events. He wasn't there, you know, for parents' evenings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, you know, I grew up with that whole scenario of, actually, I didn't care about material things. I didn't care about material things. What I wanted was more time with my dad. What I wanted was more time with the family. And we were lucky. We went away, you know, in the UK, you know, for holidays. And it was nice to spend that time with my dad. But as he got more and more successful, the less time we spent with him. And, you know, it was real sad. It was really sad. And, you know, it's, I think, one of the regrets that I had in my life was, you know, just not spending more time with him. I'm not happy, you know, as a child. As an adult, yes, I did spend more time with him. But as a child, you know, he was an absent father for a lot of the time. And it's one of the things, obviously, as I've grown up and, you know, obviously I have a son now myself, is I make sure that I spend real quality time, even to the stage where, you know, my husband works 4 days a week, not 5 days a week, because our family day is very much on a Wednesday, and where, you know, we can go and do things, and he's only still quite young. And had the experience of just going and spending 4 hours on the beach this Wednesday. We just, you know, it wasn't fantastic weather, but it was nice weather, and just rolling around in the sun and playing as a family. And it's not many people who can do that midweek, so there wasn't an awful lot of people on the beach, so it was like we were, you know, our own personal beach down on the south of England, and it was fantastic. And it's just giving your children memories like that, and not just your children, but your friends and your family also, extended family also, of being present, you know, making sure you're present instead of worrying or about, you know, where's the next dollar, where's the next pound coming from. And it's, you know, one of the things I think that we all have are a little bit guilty of, and Matthew was talking about a little bit before, is using credit when maybe we don't need to, and therefore feeling pressurized to make the repayments. And don't get me wrong, there are times, obviously, where you need to be able to spend money, and credit cards are really helpful and handy. But it's looking at, you know, if you're doing it habitually just to own more stuff, then it's looking at, why do I need this stuff? I, you know, I'm looking at the inner landscape of your life and just going, what part of me is unhappy enough to make sure that I'm getting constant thrills or glittery things or toys or whatever, because I actually don't feel enough within myself. I don't feel complete within self, and I'm trying to fill a void with material things rather than looking at, as I said, at your own inner landscape and finding out where maybe the sadness, the grief, or the void, you know, I like to call it divine discontentment. You know, when we've got that void inside of us and we feel like, you know, we're full of a can of worms and the worms are squirming, and we want to placate those worms. So, you know, it's like whilst we're trying to get a handle on what's squirming around within us, what we're not doing is we're not looking deeper within self. And, you know, the reason I call it divine discontentment is usually because we have forgotten our spiritual life. We've forgotten that we are much bigger beings than people who just want to smash and grab material things. And it's a really difficult thing. And I think, you know, one of the things for me, I'll talk about after the break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, so we're back from the break. Hi, and it's, you know, I think sometimes when I go, right, we, obviously we have some music that plays and then we go, right, we're into the break, and then all my thoughts leave me and I think, right, we're going to go back and we're going to talk about this. And I'm really excited about to talk really about the power of gratitude and being really thankful for what we have and what we've got in our lives. And it's from the little things, you know. And I have this great thing that I've always had, and I've probably made it a little bit bigger since I've had my son, of, you know, just bursting into song every now and again, just thanking, you know, about different things. And, you know, what am I most grateful for? Socks. Don't I just love them? And, you know, pajamas and, you know, all sorts of different things, and just making up silly little songs and silly little ditties about what I'm happy and grateful for. And, you know, first, when I first started off in, you know, working in nursing, it was like I'd always go in and walk into the intensive care unit and just go, okay, so what am I grateful for? And I'd look around the intensive care unit and think, the first thing I'm grateful for is I'm not a patient here. I'm actually one of the nurses. So, wow. I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful that I have my health. I'm grateful that I have a job. And just keep on using some positive affirmations about what I'm grateful for. And, you know, as you get older, and I'm, you know, I'm approaching 60, and I'm grateful that I get up in the morning and I still have the energy of a 30-year-old. I still have the energy, I still move, I still get out there. You know, yes, I'm just really happy and grateful that my life has turned out the way that it's turned out. And, you know, it is the little things that, you know, when I was walking in the garden this afternoon, and my son's in the garden, and he's following this bee around the garden, and I just went, again, I'm really thankful for the bees. And, you know, when we actually think about pollination and some of the stuff that's going on in the world at the moment, about we're not having enough bees pollinating crops, we're not having enough, you know, all of these things, you can really get into being grateful and happy that you are living the life that you're living, that you are, you know, present, that you're a member, you're listening to an On Times Radio show, you know, which means you have a certain amount of awareness. Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? aren't you grateful for that? That's really good. So I'm having another rant, so I'm going to hand over to I'm going to hand it back over to Matthew to give you a breather.
Yeah, well, mentioning that, I think a lot of people listening on the radio station will agree when, especially with Mental Health Week last week, there's like a real passion coming from people, that even people that weren't even spiritually aware, but there's a huge passion around what we've been doing as a human race for the last 50 years and how we can change it. So from climate and certainly a mental health perspective, it's kind of very much, people are getting to the stage where it's kind of like, really, is this what life's all about? Is it really about just going and getting certain grades and finding a certain job and all of this sort of thing? Or really, should it be about passion and fun and love? And it's almost like the only way we're going to get there is by creating the world that we've created, where people do have jealousy and this huge competition, and it's a dog eat dog world, to the point where humanity almost breaks down, and we're all so fed up of the mundane life that we were told as children that is what life's all about. Because you grow up and you may get all the wonderful grades and you may get the job that you've always dreamt of, but when you get to that point, does it make you happy? And a lot of people say, well, I don't know, I have to think about that. And that's real sad when you ask someone a direct question and they say, well, hang on, let me think about if I'm actually happy, because you know automatically that the answer is no. But it's like I can see a real flip on the horizon, especially like I say with Mental Health Week last week. It's like people are getting to that breaking point where the life they're living is not suiting them, and that they feel they really need to change it and find what's really important.
I think
going back to what we were saying about health, self-love, if we all loved ourselves 100%, a lot of the stuff we spend our money on, we would stop spending our money on, because we wouldn't need it anymore. We've just got into this, oh, well, I'll treat myself to that donut because it makes me feel good. Or I'll treat myself to that nice new shirt because I'm going out on Saturday and I don't want people to think that I'm wearing the same thing all the time. It's all these things where, and it goes for drugs and alcohol as well. It's survival, using things for survival.
I think very much for me, it's, you know, going back even to, you know, the advert that Acorn Tawoko has got on the radio show, you know, is this as good as it gets? And I would basically say to you, you know, yeah, I mean, there's a reason why obviously we use that statement, because, you know, it's a question that an awful lot of us have in our minds. Is this it? Is this life? Is this really all I'm going to experience? And if that's the truth, then I don't know whether I want to be here for that long. And it's really, you know, going again back into the inner wealth. The inner wealth is what is so important. And investing time, investing money, investing everything that you can invest in that inner wealth, because the inner wealth is also your inner health. You know, and we have had Mental Health Week in the UK. I don't know if it was global or not, but, you know, it's when you look at it and you look at the percentages of people who take their own lives because they really do think that this is all it is. And, you know, the suffering and the pain, instead of actually looking at it and going, you know, these are the things that we should be investing huge amounts of energy and passion and wealth, helping people realize that, no, this is not the only story. But, you know, one of the sayings, one of my favourite sayings, if you don't go within, you will go without. And if we don't go within and realise the inner wealth that we have, you know, no materialistic thing on the out in the outer world will ever give you constant wealth. It just won't. It will not be holistic. It will not be, you know, what you're actually dreaming of having, because, you know, the process that Matthew was talking about, when, you know, people buy whatever they want to buy and they think that, you know, I'll only be happy if I have X, and then they get X, and then the next comment is, I will only be happy if I get Y. And when Y arrives, they go, I'll only be happy when I have Z. And they get Z. And that actually, within a couple of months or maybe a year or however long it takes, is that gets thrown onto the heap of expensive toys or toys that you've bought. And none of it will give you that inner freedom, that inner peace, that inner contentment, because you're not investing in finding out what that inner wealth is. And you have pots of gold and pearls beyond price and amazing experiences if only you will turn within and find them, you know. And most of them are in the subconscious mind. And, you know, again, it's going back to, you know, obviously one of Acorn Tweke's preferred methodologies is looking at levels of consciousness, because in the levels of consciousness are the pearls beyond price, are the pots of gold, are the diamonds of amazing luster. So, you know, again, it's coming back to that. And as you hear young Matthew and I talk week by week, you'll always find that we're coming back to the one truth is, if you don't go within, you will go without. So you will go without outer wealth, and you'll go without and if you go within, you'll gain inner wealth. So very much it's about all of those things, and trying to encourage you to make that investment to go in. So handing back to Matthew for the last few minutes so he can round up his thoughts.
Yeah, I think what really comes across is when speaking to people, just in general about what I do with the coaching, and especially with Breath to Life breath work, is in the UK we charge £200 for a 2-hour session. And when you first say that to someone, they go, cool, that's quite expensive. And what I usually, the question I send back to them is, compared to what? One night out? Or having your nails done, or having your hair done, because it's an investment in self. That's how I class my training. What I've done and achieved with breathwork is, every penny I've spent on breathwork is, it's investing in my happiness, and it's improving my life and helping me to improve my life. And when I say that back to them, they go, oh yeah, well, if you're gonna spend any money on anything, that's what you want to spend it on. And people think we don't realise how much we spend on things that we don't need. So when there's actually something that can really help us, we question it and think, oh, I'm not sure about that. And you're more than happy to spend £200 or $200 on a night out. I mean, let's face it, most meals in a nice restaurant cost that these days. So, but we don't have the issue with spending it then. And as Penny said, a lot of it, if you can't afford a night out, you tell yourself, oh, but I want to go out and I want to be seen with people and I want to have a social time, so I'll just whack it on the credit card. And people just keep whacking stuff on credit cards and that sort of thing. And I like the term, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. It's like, how many Band-Aids do you need to stick on your bullet hole just to survive that month? And it's come out definitely. I've seen it in clients and people that I've been chatting to recently, that it's got to a stage where people are truly realizing that. And I think there's going to be certainly a huge change in a wider group consciousness. It's all very well when you get it and you have a spiritual connection, and that's where you get your love. So for me, I'm a single guy. I don't have a family. Obviously, I've got my father and brother and sister, but I don't have that family of my own. So Penny talks about the wonderful time she spends with family and that sort of thing, and how that can really nourish the soul. Well, a single person can have that too. I do it with meditation, and it's, you're never alone, and you can connect to that deeper part of self and much greater part of the universe, and get that love and get that understanding and get that nourishment and actually get your needs met. I mean, I really notice if I miss a meditation in the morning because I've decided to engage with the snooze button a few more times than I should do, and I miss my meditation, I find the first couple of hours can be real tough. It can almost be feeling like a zombie, feeling disconnected. And so, just mindful, we're coming into the end of the show, so
we'll see you next week.
I can cover. So thanks very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed it, and
take care. We'll see you next week. Okay.
Thank you.